The Bush administration is revising a 17-year-old law that was designed to stop the practice of patient dumping. That's when one hospital emergency room transfers a very sick or pregnant patient to another hospital, usually because that patient can't pay. A 1986 law aimed to reduce the practice by prohibiting transfers unless a patient is stabilized, regardless of their ability to pay. It also required that hospitals take elaborate steps to ensure that a wide range of emergency services are immediately available to anyone who shows up at an emergency room at any hour of the day or night. Thomas Scully oversaw the revisions of this law. He's the administrator of the Federal Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services, and he joins us now. Thanks for being with us.
Sure.
If you could, Mr. Scully, walk us through how that 1986 law works. Say I'm poor and I have no insurance and I show up in an emergency room. What happens?
Well, the great thing about the 1986 law is if you're poor and you show up in an emergency room, every hospital in the country has to take you and take care of you and make sure that you get good care, whether you have insurance or you don't have insurance. So it was kind of a backdoor way to give people universal access to at least emergency room care and basic health care coverage, and I think it's worked reasonably well, and I think that was the real goal of EMTALA. The Emergency Room Treatment Act of 1986 to guarantee access to emergency services for everybody, regardless of what their insurance coverage was.
So what's the problem with that? Why does that law
Well, the problem is that over the years, a lot of griping and complaining, and I think a lot of it legitimate, came from physicians and hospitals, that some of the regulatory burdens of EMTALA, the ones that weren't intended, had gotten to the point where they were causing a lot of problems. And I'll give you a couple of examples. Let's say you're at the University of Pennsylvania Hospital in Philadelphia, and if they happen to own a allergy clinic 4 blocks away or a dialysis clinic 10 blocks away, because they're affiliated with the University of Pennsylvania Hospital, if somebody happened to wander into either one of those facilities that have nothing to do with the emergency room, the receptionist, the nurses, and everyone else there would have been trained to take care of emergency room patients, even though they had nothing to do with the emergency room. And a lot of that was never clear in the law. It was just interpreted by various legal rulings over the year being in a very expansive reading of EMTALA. Also, EMTALA requires you to have a certain number of physicians on call in your emergency room. So let's say, again, you're the University of Pennsylvania emergency room. You are required to have a neurosurgeon, a plastic surgeon, every specialist that you can name on call 24 hours a day to take care of emergency room patients. Well, what would increasingly happen, especially in very urban hospitals, is the doctors started dropping off those staffs because they didn't want to be on call all the time. So, in fact, the good intentions of the rule backfired.
One criticism of this rule that'll go into effect in November is that if the hospitals don't have to keep as many specialists on call 24 hours a day, that patients will wait for services, and that could jeopardize their health, and it'll also increase overcrowding in emergency rooms.
I don't think that's the case, and I really don't. I spent a fair amount of time on this, and I won't claim to be the expert. I have two very good, very experienced healthcare lawyers, my deputy and another person who worked in the Massachusetts Hospital Association for years that spent a year writing this. And I think we found the right balance. The problem is, I think if you look at a lot of urban hospitals, what they found is increasingly doctors are dropping off their staffs because of the very inflexible on-call requirements. And it doesn't do any good to mandate to a hospital that they have to have every specialist on call if they don't have any on the staff.
You used to be the president of a lobbying group, the Federation of American Hospitals, and you lobbied to change the emergency room standards for that group at the time. Do you think you bring that bias toward the hospital industry now that you're the administrator for Medicare and Medicaid?
No. I mean, to be honest, the only reason I've had a great experience running the second biggest hospital association in the country, but the reason I was there is because I was exiled from the government for 8 years. I was the White House and OMB healthcare staffer in the first Bush administration, and I had to find something to do in those intervening 8 years. And nobody's ever accused me of being pro-hospital when I've been taking on some of the big hospital chains on a regulatory basis where I've had some pretty healthy fights. So I think you'd have a hard time finding anybody in the healthcare field that thinks I'm biased in any direction at all.
Well, Mr. Scully, thanks for being with us.
Okay.
Thomas Scully is administrator of the Federal Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services.